All right, church, you ready to get in the Word? All right, you got your Bible, your device, hold it up. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert, and my heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Give God your best shout of victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all sound so good today. Open your Bible to the Old Testament. And before we begin reading in Jeremiah chapter 9, let me set up this new series. We're talking about why. You know, it's so important that we understand why Church on the Rock exists. For 34 years, we came here 34 years ago, Kim and I, and planted this church with 35 wonderful people. Why Church on the Rock? Why should I go there? Why should I serve there? Why should I give there? Why should I get behind the projects and the missions and the outreach there? Why? Why do I need church? Why do I need to go to church? Why the church? Why should I invite people to my church? Why? I want to talk to you all month about our mission, our direction of our church, our vision. And you know, I wouldn't go to a church that didn't have clear direction. I wouldn't be a part. I wouldn't serve. I wouldn't give. I wouldn't participate. I wouldn't come to a church that didn't have a clear vision, a clear mission, clear direction. Life is confusing enough to be part of a church that's confused. Yeah. So I want to give you clarity, and I want to give you direction, and I want to cast vision, and I want to share mission of Church on the Rock, and I want to answer why. Church on the Rock. Why does it exist? But before I do that, I want to encourage you to let it overlap into your life. Because I want you to evaluate and examine your life and ask yourself, why? Why do you do what you do? Why do you go to work? Why are you in that career? Why do you serve? Why? Why do you do the things you do as a parent? I want the why to overlap because, you see, here's the deal. The deal is this. The Bible says in the last days, we're going to get busier. Did you know that? In the last days, the Bible says people are going to come here and fro, and it's going to speed up, and things are going to get busier. In fact, the Bible actually says that the devil is going to wear us out. Wear us out. That's his tactic right now. Is to get us so busy and too busy for God, and what's most important, that he wears us down and he wears us out. But I want to present to you today, I want to help you with burnout, because we've all dealt with burnout in our life, and a lot of times we think burnout comes from our schedule. But I want to submit to you today that burnout does not come from our schedule. Burnout does not come from what we do. Burnout comes as a result we forget why we're doing it. It doesn't come from our schedule. It doesn't come from being a single parent or a parent, business person, career person. It doesn't come from being busy in the church, serving in the church, and raising my family and building a successful career. Burnout doesn't come from that. Burnout doesn't come from what I do. Burnout comes from the why, forgetting the why. Now, what is why? It's the motive, isn't it, church? It's the motive. The why is the motive, or could I say it's the motivation. And Zig Ziglar taught us that we should stay motivated. Well, how do you stay motivated? By reminding yourself and making it clear in what you do, but knowing why you do it. Why do I go to church? Why do I bring my family? Why do I serve? And why do I give? And why am I building this business? And why am I parenting this way? And why am I making time for daily devotion? And why am I putting the most important first? Why? When you know the why and it's clear, you're motivated. You see, how could I am more motivated today than I was 34 years ago. I am more motivated to be your pastor. I am more motivated to build a great church, build great people, make an impact, leave a legacy. I'm more motivated today because I know why I'm here. After 3.5 decades, I know why. I'm motivated about being Kim's husband of 44 years. I'm motivated about being a parent and a grandparent. I'm motivated about everything going on in my life today. I'm not burnt out. I'm not weary. I'm not tired. I'm on fire. And the whole world's coming to watch us burn. How can you do that? Because you remind yourself of the why. It's not the what. It's not the schedule. It's not the busyness. It's when we forget why we're doing what we're doing. When we lose the right motivation and we're led by the wrong motivation, burnout comes. But when we keep the motivation right and clear, you stay motivated. And the Bible says in Proverbs 4:18, your path should be getting brighter and brighter. And Oprah says that your future should be so bright, you have to wear sunglasses. Amen. So how can we do it when we know the why? And I know the why of Church on the Rock. I know why Kim and I left our home and our family 34 years ago. We left the familiar. We left our family. We left the security. We left the insurance package, the retirement package. We left our denomination. We left our hometown. We left our people. I know why we left. And the why that we left for is still clear to us, the why we stay for. And that why motivated me this morning. I was so excited to get to church today. Yeah, and be with you. I mean, I'm up at 5:30. I'm cooking my eggs and my toast, walking my dog, making my confessions in the rain. And I couldn't wait to get here with you today because I know the why. Why does Church on the Rock exist? Why church? Why, Pastor, would you leave everything and come here and plant a church? Why would you stay all these years? Why would you be so motivated to love us and lead us and feed us and help us? Because I know the why. And what is the why? Why does Church on the Rock exist? Number one, to help people know God. That's it. You see, 34 years ago, Kim and I came here because we wanted to help people in this community know the God that we knew. We wanted to help them know the God, not the God of religion, not the God of structure, and not the God, a man-made God, an institutional God, not the God that the media of the world portrays. But we came here 34 years ago, and that's why, because we wanted to help people know the God that we knew. And you know, he was a God that was for us. You know, 34 years ago, church, we started television ministry. Thank you for all your TV partners. I mean, the stories are coming in. I wish I could share them all with you. But you're making a difference. You're leaving a legacy. But 34 years ago, we started on TV in St. Louis. I go over by Fifi Baptist Church, TCI Cable. I do 5 half-hour programs in one setting. We were on every day on cable. 34 years ago, the first year of our church. But I'd end every program with this phrase. And don't forget, God is for you. Folks, we started with it, and we're still with it. Because what's our job today? My job is to help you know God. Help you know God. And that's what it's all about. The greatest decision that you can ever make is to know God. The greatest decision that we could ever make is to put God at the center of our life and make him the core. We all know about having a strong core, you know, having a strong core physically. Well, you know what? You need a strong core spiritually. And we need to make Jesus, we need to make God the center of our life, the center of our home, the center of our world. That's the greatest decision you can ever make, is to know God. So can we get in the Word and kind of build on it a little bit? Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Now, he's going to give us three categories that is the wrong pursuit. It's not wrong to pursue it. It just shouldn't be number one. He's going to give us three categories that shouldn't be number one pursuit. And then he's going to give us the fourth that should be our number one pursuit. Got it? Okay, so here we go. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise and the skillful person glory in their education. Now, we're pro-education at Church on the Rock, right? Two amens. Come on now. We're pro-education at Church on the Rock. And you know, we have lots of educators in our church. We have lots of principals and superintendents and public and private school teachers. We are pro-education. Yeah. And you know, our children's leaders right now, we're excited about them that are overseeing our children's department. They're going to plant a church next year in Omaha. We're helping them, but we're going to revamp our whole children's department. We're going to go through it, revamp the whole thing next year because we're pro-education at Church on the Rock. We're for it. It just shouldn't be our number one pursuit. So then he goes on and he says, let not the mighty or the powerful person glory and boast in their strength and power. What's that mean? You know, I'm all for you being kings in the marketplace. I'm all for you being the head and having influence, having impact, being a leader, making a difference, changing our community, changing the culture in our community. I'm all for that. We should learn people skills. We should learn negotiation skills. We should learn vision casting skills. We should learn administrative skills. We should learn how to be great in the marketplace and be strong and powerful. But it shouldn't be our number one pursuit. Number three, it goes on to say, let not the person who is rich in physical gratification and earthly wealth glory and boast, and notice what it says, family, in temporal satisfaction. Now, God wants us blessed. We can agree, right? We already saw from the Word that God wants to favor you this week, and God wants you to be a success this week, and God wants you to leave a mark that's permanent for His glory this week. Change the world. God wants all of that. God wants us to have stuff just as long as stuff doesn't have us. Can I have a witness in the house? So notice three categories. Nothing wrong with that education. Nothing wrong with being a success and having impact and being influential in the community. Nothing wrong in having stuff. But it just shouldn't be our number one pursuit. What should be our number one pursuit? Next verse, verse 24. But let him who glories glory in this, that we understand, look, family, and know God personally. Our number one pursuit, the greatest decision we'll ever make, is to know God. And Church on the Rock, the reason why we exist is our weekend services. This is our third service. And we have Wednesday night, every Wednesday night. And we have growth track classes over there going on right now. And we have small groups meeting in the North Campus. What's it all about? It's all about helping people know God. So when you give to this church and you serve in this church and you're part of the family of this church, isn't it good to know that you know why we're here and why we're doing all that we're doing? It's to help people know the God that you and I know. And He's a God that's for people, not against them. He's a God who has a purpose for their life. And we want to help them discover it in Jesus' name. God is a good God. God's not mad at people. God's not a racist. God's not a bigot. God doesn't want us broke and busted and disgusted. God doesn't want us just to barely get by. God is for us. And we want to help people know that kind of God. So he goes on to say, he says, but this should be your pursuit, is to know God personally and then to live it out practically. I love that. Live it out practically, discerning and recognizing my character, that I am the Lord who practices loving kindness. And God says, I delight in these things. So I want you to see here that this is what God says that you and I should be our number one pursuit in life as parents, grandparents. This is our number one pursuit as people, is to know God. But family is not enough to know God. It's knowing God, but then it's growing in God. You see, the greatest decision we'll ever make is to know God, but you can't stop there. And now it's progressive, isn't it? You know, it's progressive in knowing God. You know, I'm 64 years young today. I gave my heart to Christ when I was 11, and I've walked with Him for 50 years, but the more I walk with Him, the less I know. Anybody with me today? In other words, He keeps unfolding Himself. Oh, just when I got that glimpse of facet of His goodness and His greatness and His power. I was reading this morning in my devotion in Psalms where it says, He's a God with no beginning, and He's a God with no ending. Oh, just when I think, oh, wow, and then God opens up another facet of His character, His splendor, His greatness, His goodness, His kindness, His faithfulness, His favor. It's progressive, isn't it, church? It's progressive. So let's look at another verse, if we could. Look with me on the overheads at Philippians 3 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless. Everyone say priceless. So you see, our relationship in knowing God and then growing with God, it's priceless. Do we see it as priceless? Do we view it as priceless? Are you and I living in awe of God? Or is our life yawning instead of being in awe of God? Are we excited about life? Are we excited about the journey? You know, yesterday morning, I love this time of the year, don't you? I love the fall when the leaves are so beautiful, orange and yellow and brown, and they're beautiful this year, aren't they? Pastor, I haven't noticed. You need to slow down. You need to enjoy the journey. You need to enjoy knowing God and growing in God. Because if all you do is know God and don't grow in God, you will never experience abundant life. And so yesterday morning, you know, I got up and we got up, Kim and I, and Kim said, I'll take you out for breakfast. Isn't that nice? She said, I'll take you out for breakfast. So we got about 7 o'clock. We thought we'd beat the crowd, and the sun was shining, and it was just beautiful, the leaves, you know, and there was a nip in the air. I like that. And we went to the restaurant. We got out of the truck, and we were walking across the parking lot, and I could just smell bacon. Sizzling. God loves bacon. Please don't email me. God loves bacon. And you could smell the bacon, and you could smell the coffee. I'm a coffee nut, you know that. And you could smell the coffee, you could smell the bacon. Oh, it was wonderful. And I'm talking about enjoying the journey. I'm talking about knowing and growing. And if I am, I'm enjoying. If I'm knowing God and growing in God, then I'm enjoying my walk with God, abundant life. Amen. So, you know, we got done, you know, just wonderful. And then Kim says, hey, you know, can we go, you know, over here and over there? And you know what she was doing? She had some honeydew jobs for me. Why do you girls do that? So I had no idea she was setting me up when she bought me breakfast yesterday morning. See, she was thinking ahead in Jesus' name. You girls are so smart. So he says the surpassing worth, the supreme advantage, overwhelming. Is that your walk? Is that your relationship? Is that your Christianity? It's priceless. It's overwhelming. I have an advantage on the world because I know God. And I know God is for me and my family. And I know that God has a purpose for my life and a purpose for my family. And you know what? Notice we should live with that kind of mindset an advantage in knowing God and progressively becoming more deeply and intimately. Everyone say intimately. You see, if we want to leave an impact on our kids, we have to have intimacy with God. Intimacy with God creates impact on those we work with, live by. Intimacy. I just wish I could change my kids. You know what? Know God. I just wish I could change my husband. You know what you do? You're not going to change him. Know God. Because in knowing God and then in growing in God, and notice it's progressive. In doing that, notice it says that we become more deeply and intimately acquainted with God. Don't miss this now. Heads up, ears open. Acquainted with God. Acquainted with God. Perceiving, recognizing, and understanding Him more fully and more clearly. Now, here's what I know. You know, I've been in the church for 40 years over, and here's what I know. You can tell if people know God and are growing with God. You really can. You can tell, you know, we've all found out, right? Just going to church doesn't promise that I'm going to grow and know God. Because you can go to McDonald's and not be a Big Mac this afternoon. So just going to church doesn't promise that I'm going to know God and grow in God. How do you know that it's worth the drive? How do you know that why does Church on the Rock exist? To help people know God. How do we know? What's the test? What's the proof that I'm knowing God and I'm growing in God? Here it is. I'm becoming more like God. If I'm really knowing God, it's more than a ritual, a routine, some phrases, Christianese, churchianity. It's more than a religion. It's more than a denomination. It's more than just upbringing. If I'm intimately getting to know God clearly, more fully, every day, I'm knowing, I'm growing, I'm becoming more like God. What does that mean? I'm more loving, the fruit of the Spirit. I'm more tolerant. I'm more caring. I'm more serving. I'm more generous, the fruit of the Spirit. I'm more patient. I have more joy. I have more peace. That's how you... And what are we here? What are we doing? Why does Church on the Rock... Why? Why? Is to help people know God. And then not stop there, but help you grow in God. And the proof is, then we'll become more like God. Psalm 14. Am I helping anybody today? You know, Psalm 14. And before I read that, this is awesome. You know, I believe in millennials. Two of us. Sorry, all you millennials, but the pastor loves you and believes in you. I believe in our millennials at Church on the Rock. Can I have a better response? Amen. And I'm out between services, and one of our young millennials walks up to me. He's a young man, millennial. He walks up to me and he said, "Pastor, I just want to thank you for today." This is a young millennial, part of our church family. He said, "You know, I've dropped out of church. I haven't been in church for a while. So what have you been doing?" He said, "I've been chasing after my career." I said, "What's your career?" He told me what it was. He said, "I've been chasing after my career. I want to be successful." And he said, "Pastor, doors are shutting. It's not happening. I'm getting frustrated." And he said, "My aunt came and told me, you need to know God. Seriously. You need to go to a church. You need to get back in church where you can get to know God and make God your pursuit." His aunt was telling him this. Then he comes and sits in this service and hears what you're hearing. Oh, wow. Shazam, to quote Gomer Pyle. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And so he was telling me how he had made a decision this morning in this service. He was going to know God. And then he told me this, a young millennial in our church. Then he told me this. He said, "Pastor, now I know why Church on the Rock exists." He said, "I want to serve, Steve. I want to get involved. I want to plug in." Isn't that awesome? Oh, that's amazing. And look what the Bible says, the empty-headed. Now, I didn't say that. The empty-headed fool has said in their heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They've done abominable deeds. There is none that does good or right. Next verse, verse 2. What's God doing today, Pastor? Can I tell you what God's doing? Here's what God's doing. He's looking down from heaven. God's looking down from heaven upon the earth to see in the children of men and women if there's anybody wanting to know him. You want to get God's attention today? Be a God chaser. You want to get God's attention? You want to get God to smile on our life? What's he looking for? He's not looking for the rich or the famous or the white or the black or the red or the yellow or the old or the young or the influential or the nobody. He's just looking for somebody like you and me that's after God. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a big praise. He's looking for people who are seeking after him. Inquiring and requiring, God, I need you. God, I want to know you. I don't want religion. I don't want man-made ideas about you. God, I don't want a second-hand revelation about you. God, I want to know you personally and intimately. And God, I want to be acquainted with you. And I want to be transformed. And I want to change. And I want to leave a legacy and leave a mark that's outlast my life. Well, how's that going to happen? In knowing him and growing with him. That's what our church is all about. People who want to be entertained. I'm sorry. I'm not an entertainer. Wish I could be. What you see is what you get. I'm blunt. You know, I just love God and I love you and I love the word and I want to help people. If people come here and they're looking, you know, for this or that and the other, you know, if they're not looking to know God, and then to know how to grow in God, they don't stay. But I believe there's a remnant of people in our city that want to know, really want to know God. And they really want to grow in God. That's why we exist, Church on the Rock. Now, can I give you an acrostic on how to grow? As our team comes out, let me leave you with this, and I want to pick it up Wednesday night. But let me leave you with an acrostic, very simple takeaway on how we grow. How does growth happen? And let's look at the acrostic if we could. The first letter is a letter G. And what's that stand for? Go to God daily. You know, if we visit the gym once in a while, we won't get the results that we want. If we date God, visit God, vacation with God, we will never see abundant life. I got to do more than just know God. I have to grow in God to experience abundant life, God's very best. You know, I just want to say this to you as your pastor who loves you. When you put God first, that's what this means. Go to God every day, 30 minutes in the morning. When you go to God, you put him first, you can expect. Everyone say expect. You can expect to live a fulfilled life. It's your right. When you put God first and you go to God daily, you can expect. Everyone say expect. You can expect to live a fulfilled life. Hebrews 11:6 says, those who seek him, God will reward them. Those who seek him, God will reward them. Hebrews 11:6. And the next is letter R, right, for growth. And what is that? Read God's word daily. Before Wall Street Journal, before the internet. And by the way, you know, online ministry here locally, I'm thankful for it. But the online ministry that we have here locally, it's not to be a substitute for church. I'm coming over here. It's not to be a substitute for church. The online ministry is to be an open door, a front open door to the church. Because you can't get it home what you're going to get here with iron sharpening iron. So you got to read God's word daily. Got to get a Bible plan. You know, 31 Proverbs, 31 days in a month, every day of my life, first thing I do in the morning, I have Proverbs on CD. I listen to a proverb every morning. I did this morning. Ask him. And then when I'm getting ready, I go to my smartphone. I got a Bible app. I turn on the one-year Bible, and I got that going. Then when I get in my car, I'm listening to a podcast or an Audible book. I go through one Audible book a week in my car. Zig Ziglar taught us to do that. Make your car a university. Next thing we do for growth is obey God in the little things. You see, Pastor, God's asking me to do something big. You know what? He's going to ask you to do something little before he really is going to ask you to do something big. Yeah, so let's don't focus on that big thing that scares us and frightens us. Let's just today, when he just whispers in your ear today to do a random act of kindness for a waiter today, just do that. When he speaks to you, I told you at the offering how he spoke to me. Didn't hear it audible inside in my spirit. He said, Dave, you have this. I want you to sow it and plant it and give it in this person's life. And I want it to be a legacy offering. It's just obeying God in the little things. Because you know what? Obedience is greater than sacrifice. I don't know how I'm going to get through this week, Pastor. It is a week from hell. Let me help you. Obey your way through. Coming over here. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, in the morning when you don't feel like praising God, praise God. You obeyed your way through. When God speaks to you, you do something nice for someone tomorrow and you don't feel like it, you obey and you just do it. When God says, read a chapter a day, I don't feel like reading the Bible, but don't go by your feelings. Just obey God and you can obey your way. You don't got to feel your way. You obey your way. Good. And then W is for witnessing for him. I can't grow without sharing. I can't grow without giving out. Now, knowing and growing. I can know God without witnessing. I can know God without witnessing. I can know God without sharing all the good things he's done in my life with somebody else. But I can't grow without sharing. Every day of my life, I journal. I've got journals all the way back to 1985. I'm in Chicago, Illinois, with David Paul Yonggi Cho of Seoul, Korea, largest church in the world, 1985. I still have the notes from that, the journal from that. Who's going to get that? My grandkids. Amen. You need to journal every day, and you need to have a blessing journal so that when you're down in the dumps, open up that blessing journal and look at what God's done for you and go tell somebody. Because when you lift them, it'll lift you. And then T is trust him. Trust him. Boy, Pastor, I'm having a hard time trusting God to make my house payment this month. Well, just trust him to help you through today. Just trust him for today. The Bible says in Matthew 6, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. Y'all remember that in Matthew 6? Worry never helped anybody. And then we have H. And what's H? It says, hand over everything in your life to the Holy Spirit. Folks, you know you have a helper today. And he's the Holy Spirit. Did you know he's your paraclete? He's the one that comes alongside you, walks with you through every trial, every test, every season. So what you need to do today is just hand it all over to your helper. Holy Spirit. And when you do those things, guess what? Growth will happen in your life.